right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this time of the service that we open up your written word. You spoke the word into being. We see that in the book of Genesis, but you also caused men of God, you said, to write the word. And so, Father, as we approach the written word, we do so humbly. We do so with ears that are going to hear. Our hearts are the soil which the word will then be planted. And we say today, the word will produce for us 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name, come on. You agree with that? Say amen. 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 Go ahead and find a place to sit. We're glad you came. How many are glad for air conditioning? Jesus. Wow, I don't know. We've got to get that thing checked. Thanks for bearing with us today. You know, if we don't get it checked this next week, and we'll shoot you a text or an email and say, wear shorts next week. Come on, everybody. Woo! It's hot in the house. Man, we've been here for 13 years, and I just don't think it's been as hot this year as it ever has it? Man, I'm telling you, I thought we were going to be in some cool weather. I'm thinking about bringing some of that Canada weather down here. Anybody ever seen the snow? You think you want to live in it till you got to shovel it. Come on, everybody. Today, let's talk about something that all of us have endured, all of us have been through, all of us, when I talk about it, even the series title, you'll see, you'll have a thought maybe that'll run through your mind about whether you've experienced this on the positive side or the negative side. And I'd say that probably a lot of our thoughts have been toward the negative side of something like this. Let's talk today about the subject, the fire won't hurt you. The fire won't hurt you. All of our lives we've been taught that fire generally is something that'll bring harm. That it's going to hurt us. It's going to you know, really derail us. Fire meaning not physical fire. Of course, we know that. Fire is both good and bad physically. It'll cook food, but also burn a house down. But the fire, even when we see from the Word of God, we'll look at specific scriptures that I hope today just gives you a really a good thought, a good grounding on a real familiar passage of Scripture about what the fire will really do for your life. Nobody wakes up, you know, today you didn't wake up and say, I hope today's the toughest day of my life. I hope today's the most challenging day of my life. But can I tell you, today might be. You're going to have lots of challenging days. And I don't know, there's things I think that we go through that we think that we're going to be averted from trials or challenges or tests or fire. But just because you're in the world, you're human in the world, you're living in the world, makes no difference your age, your race, your nationality, makes no difference if you're a Christian or a non-Christian this morning, if you think you're a good person or a bad person this morning, whatever that means, the Bible says every one of us are going to face fires. There's all kinds of stories in the Bible about what we might call fiery situations, people that have gone through things. We think of maybe like Jesus with the disciples in the boat or the storm. That was what we call a storm fire. We see situations in the Bible where, like Elijah, he wakes up one morning, or Elisha, the prophet, and the whole city surrounding him is encamped with armies that are going to try to kill him and his servant. We see things constantly, whether it's Paul on a boat and a storm rises up in his life as well. But today, we really want to look at an Old Testament scripture that maybe if you were in church, you heard in church. I heard it in church. It's about these three Hebrew kids. Come on, anybody remember their name? Come on, what's their name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, that's the guys. And they also had a friend named Daniel. And so what we're going to do is we're going to really spend time just reading this entire chapter of Daniel chapter 3. And then we're going to, that's about 30 verses, so just come on, get your read on. We'll have it on the screen behind me. And then we're going to read two New Testament passages that specifically talk and have deals with testing and trial and also fire. So you ready to go this morning? I've got some issues with my microphone. Am I doing something wrong? Anybody back there? I can't see you. No. Okay. Well, sorry, guys. All right. Daniel chapter 3. Let me get my phone out. I got mine on my phone. Come on. Thank God that we've got the Word of God at our disposal everywhere we go. Isn't that good? Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be reading the New King James. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits. One translation in the Bible that I've got says it was 12.5 feet wide, and 125 feet tall. How many know it took a long time to build that? It took a long time to build it. So as the brothers building it, as the king's building it, the people are understanding what's going on. They're knowing what this king is going to do with this situation. They understand it. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors. This is the who's who. The counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So all these brothers, it says that from the provinces, they gathered together for the dedication of the king, of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before that image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. Then a herald cried out, "To you command, its command, O peoples, nations, languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, all the musical instruments," it says, the psaltery and the symphony and all the kinds of music, "fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn and all the kinds of music, all the people, nations, languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, verse 8, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. This is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They accused the Jews and spoke to the king and said, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn and all the instruments and all the music fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verse 12, "Therefore, certain Jews among you have set over, you've set over the affairs of Babylon province, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was enraged and fury and gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at this time, the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, you'll fall down and worship the image which I have made? Good. But if you do not worship, you'll be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is God? Who is the God who will be able to deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "O king Nebuchadnezzar, you have no need. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was so urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, let me just stop right here. If you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on, and the king's got some guys, and the king opens up the fiery furnace, ever how that looked, and he threw them in there, and the king's brothers died because of the heat, and you didn't die because of the heat. How many of you are going, "God's with us"? Come on, God's with us. Come on, somebody, that's a sign right there. Come on, somebody. God will give you a sign even before the big sign. And how many know if you're a guy in the crowd watching what's going on, you're going, "God ain't with us no more. God's showing signs." So it says the guys that threw them in there, man, they fell down. They were all messed up. Then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look at this, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, "Do we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fiery furnace?" And they answered to the king, "True, O king. Look," he said, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt." They're not hurt. "And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out in the midst of the fire. And all the satraps, the governors, the administrators, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of smoke, the fire, wasn't on. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve and worship any god besides their own God." Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to be cut in pieces. How many know the king is kind of psychotic? He's kind of, you know, come on, somebody. He's going, we ain't going nowhere. We're going to kill people now. He's just, he goes back and forth. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. And their houses are going to be made of ash heap because there's no other God who can deliver like this. So the king promoted. Come on, somebody say promoted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All of us, we're adults in the room, and so we've been through different things in our lives. All of us have probably been through, well, as Americans, we've been through national fires. If you were living in the 40s, you went through World War II. National fires that affected the nation. There are fires that we've dealt with even recently in 2001 after 9/11. Things that we dealt with in 2008, whether the nation, we went through economic fires, wars, and even in certain cities, if you were up in L.A. in Watts during all kind of riots. Maybe you lived up there, or maybe after the Rodney King verdict, or maybe after during the O.J. Simpson thing. There's national fires that we all deal with just because of the nation that we live in. There's work-related fires that you deal with. You might be dealing with a crazy boss like Nebuchadnezzar. You deal with shortages. You deal with overtime. You deal with lost wage, wage cuts. You deal with stuff, fires in the workplace. There's fires that happen even in your own personal finances. There's challenges. There's tests that come to you where there seems like you've got these bills just all of a sudden came up and it's like a fire raging through you. What am I going to do? Family fires, whether it's with spouses, whether it's with kids, stuff that we all deal with. Maybe physical fire, challenges in your body, something that you didn't expect it, you didn't want it, but all of a sudden there's just a challenge in your body, totally unexpected. We deal with fires. But listen to me today. Hear this word. Listen to me. I've experienced all these things myself, as many of you, and I'm here to tell you, as a man, listen, not even a pastor standing before you, just a believer standing before you, the fire can't hurt you. The fire can't hurt you. I'm not saying the fire wasn't real. I'm not saying the situation didn't happen. I'm not saying the house didn't burn down. I'm not saying the problem wasn't there. Thank you. I'm just telling you, the fire cannot hurt you. It cannot hurt you. It doesn't have the power in it to hurt you. It's a little backstory here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just read chapter 3. If you go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, you read the backstory a little bit, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captives by the Babylonians. Daniel was as well. And along with thousands of others, it was prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet that the nation of Israel was going to be in rebellion, which they were. And God said, you're going to be taken away captive for 70 years, and I'm going to bring you back to your own land. This was part of what was going on. But in the middle of a national fire, we could say, God was with these men. It's a crazy story that the Bible actually says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it talks about how they looked, how they spoke, how they acted, talked about their education, and they were positioned by the king based on their appearance, based on their speech, based on the schools they went to then be leaders in the nation. So let me just encourage some of you young people. I would really encourage everybody. Some people might say, well, your appearance doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Before anybody knows what's in your heart, they see what's on the outside of you. So it matters. So just FYI, if you're going to go to an interview, put on your best clothes. Come on, somebody. Brush your teeth. Look good on the outside. Don't cause somebody not to like you based on what you look like going to get a haircut, get freshened up, put on some nice jewelry, if you're a girl. And So they were chosen because of their education. They were chosen because of their skill. They were chosen because of their appearance. And the Bible says in chapter 2 that the king, here's this same king, he dreams this dream, and here's how psychotic this king is. He dreams a dream, and he wakes up in the morning, and he says, I can't remember my dream. And so he gets all of his magicians and wise men together, and he says, hey, I had a dream last night, and I can't remember my dream. Tell me my dream, and if you don't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill you. That's what he did. And so the Bible says he started killing people. He sent his guys out to start killing the magicians. They said, you're crazy. Tell us the dream and at least give us a heads up so we can petition our gods. Well, all that word comes back to Daniel. And Daniel does what Daniel does. Daniel starts seeking God with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God gives him the answer. Come on, say amen. Amen. God will give you an answer even with a crazy boss. God will give you an answer with crazy situations that you deal with. God will cause you to be head and shoulders above everybody else. And the Bible says God promoted Daniel because of that. So while living in the world and working for an ungodly leader, you and I are going to face fire. That's exactly what happened with them. They faced fire. Here they are. All of a sudden, the king's got this other crazy, harebrained idea. I'm going to make a 125-foot statue, and I'm going to play certain kinds of music, and so you're going to bow down and worship the statue. And, of course, we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're just not doing that. We're not doing that. Now, we do believe, of course, that Daniel wasn't part of that as well, but Daniel's just not in this story. Daniel didn't bow down, and Daniel didn't serve the false god, but the story specifically talks about these three guys. Now, I want to specifically mention a part of the story that I think has caused lots of people confusion over the years, and so we want to read it one more time if you didn't get it, and we'll just spend a couple of moments here before I give you really three key points that I see with these three guys that says after the fact what happened in their lives, and I believe this will be true for you and for me as well. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. The king is having this dialogue with the three Hebrews. And he says to them in verse 14, it is true, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at this time, and you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? That's what the king said. Now, listen to what the brothers said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how many know when you're going through fire, it's good to have some people in the fire with you? Come on, somebody. Whether they're like in it, but you know, if you're going through a relationship fire, you know, you can't bring the other person in the middle of the whole thing. But how many know it's good to have a friend that you can talk to? You better not be talking to Oprah and Dr. Phil. You better be talking to some good counselor and godly people that can help you in the middle of your fire. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You better have a couple of friends that you can name real quick if you're going through difficulty. You better have a speed dial. So it says here, who's going to deliver you? So they answer verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Woo! Come on, somebody. Yeah. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Why? We already told you what we're going to do. We don't need to talk about it no more. If this is the case, verse 17, we'll talk about this. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, come on, somebody say, but if not. We'll talk about that in just a second. How many know verse 17 is a statement of faith? This is their statement of faith. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not. Now that sounds like they're contradicting. But if not, but if not, but if not, what do you mean, but if not? Verse 17 again, just one more time. If this is the case, king, that you still plan on throwing us in the midst of the fiery furnace, we don't need to answer you anymore because we already told you what we're doing. We're not bowing down and we're not worshiping that God, that image. We're not doing it. But If this is the case, that you plan on throwing us into the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He's going to deliver us from your hand. But if not, what do you mean, but if not? But if you happen to be changing your mind about throwing us into the burning fiery furnace, let it be known to you, we're still not worshiping your God. It's got to be that way, guys. It's got to read that way. It's got to be that way. Because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and will receive nothing from God. We believe God's going to deliver us, and our God is going to deliver us. But if you change your mind about throwing us into the fire, let me tell you right now, fire or no fire, that ain't our God. We serve Jehovah God. Come on, can I get an amen in the room? We serve the Almighty God. We serve Jesus. They'd be saying, you know, today. Now, here's what I do know. The challenges, the fire, the storms of life come to everybody. I think sometimes we get wrong thoughts about going through situations. Now, here's what I do know as well. What you have in you determines success or failure. What you have in you determines success or failure. So before you get to the fire, you better make sure you put something in your life. Before adversity shows up in your life, because listen to me, adversity's coming. It's going to come. National adversity is going to come. Work-related adversity, fires are going to come. Marriage issues are going to come. Your little sweet kids that you put diapers on and you pick up and you coo-coo-coo, wait till they turn 15. Come on, adversity is going to come. Can I get an amen from some parents that have been through some adversity? Some storms, some fire comes. And so listen to me, it's not unusual. We'll read it in just a minute. You don't need to think something strange is happening in your life. It's just part of this earth human experience. Now, the Bible says something really interesting. I like the way the Bible read it here in Daniel chapter 3. It says concerning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it says that when the king opened up that, you know, that gate, and the guys hold them, and they got burned, they died, and the king, they threw them in that fire, the Bible says, number one, they fell. They fell. The Bible says they fell. Number two, down. Down. And it says, number three, they were bound. They fell down, bound. They fell down, bound. They fell down, bound. And this is where most people stay in the midst of trouble. This is where most people stay in the midst of adversity. This is where most people live in times of challenges or storms or fires or difficulties. They fall down and stay bound. But the Bible actually says these brothers didn't stay that way. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
They didn't stay that way. The king actually said, we read it, the king said, I see people that are loosed, walking, not hurt, and by the way, it looks like God's in there with them.
Amen.
Loosed, walking, not hurt, and man, it looks like God's in there.
Amen.
Am I talking to the right hot crowd today? Come on, I know y'all a fan. I know it's a little bit, you're thinking if I wiggle, I'm going to start sweating. I get it. Loosed. Free. Amen. Listen to me, they're still in the fire, but they're free.
Amen.
They're still in the fire, come on somebody, but they're walking. They're still carrying on the ministry God gave them. They're still going to work every day. They're still loving their wife. They're still buying flowers for her. They're still going out to dinner dates, even though there's a fire. Even though there's a fire. It's called walking by faith and not by sight. That's what it's called. And these guys got it. They're doing it physically. And while they're loosed and while they're walking, they're not hurt. They're not talking about their hurt. They're not talking about the pain. They're not talking about the fire. They're not talking about the difficulty. They're not talking about the challenges. The Bible says right in the middle of it, God is in the middle of their fire.
Amen.
That excites me.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, I can't tell you in my life, just like you, pacing the floor at night, difficult time, challenging time, personally, marriage, whatever, corporately, church, kids, pacing the floor at night and just looking to God. And not saying, I refuse to stay down. I refuse to let this challenge determine my outlook on God. I refuse to say, I serve a limited God, and then acting in an unlimited, or serving an unlimited God and acting in a limited way. I refuse to believe that God can change every situation, that He's able and He's willing and He loves me, and then still my actions and my attitude are down, and I still stay in a fallen place. I still stay down and I still stay bound. God wants you up. He wants you free. He wants you loose. Come on, somebody. He wants you on top. So while you're in the fire this morning, come on, start walking. Come on, get your walk. Come on, some of y'all need to get your little walk on. Come on, wag your head a little bit. Get your little walk going on again. Because God is in the middle of it with you. Now, look with me real quick. Daniel 3:27. Notice this. These guys, as the king's looking in there, they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. All the leaders saw the fire had no power on them. The fire had no power on them. Listen to me. The fire actually promoted them. The fire actually promoted them. I think we got to think right about the fire. I think we got to think right about the difficulty. I think we got to think right about the strength of the enemy that's trying to come against our life, come against our family, coming against our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, coming against the call of God, the ministry God's called you to do, the adversity, the pain, the difficulty, even when it comes to national things where we cry out to God based on what's coming against our nation. The fire actually promoted these guys. At the end, the king actually elevated them because they stood their ground, because they came against a wicked king, because the king saw that their God was greater and stronger than his God. Listen to me. The fire caused a nation to know about God. The fire caused the nation. So listen to me. Maybe your fire is about a higher purpose. Maybe your fire is about a higher purpose. I'm not saying God brought the fire in your life, but here's what I do know about God. God is a genius at using fire, using adversity, using storms for a higher purpose and a higher call, where then God can get power and God can get praise, if you will, through you standing. Because come on, somebody, people are looking at you, aren't they? People are watching you. Come on, while you leave the water cooler, people are looking, going, you know what they're going through? Do you know what they're going through? They're talking. Oh, yeah, they are. Somebody's always talking. And so these guys, because of their stand, because of them saying, listen, King, we don't need to talk about this anymore. We're not bowing. We're not going back. We're not bowing on any of that image. We're going to serve God. And let it be known, if you change your mind, good, but we're still not going to be serving that thing. That's our statement of faith. We throw down the gauntlet. We're not going back. That's our line in the sand. And the enemy tries to come and huff and puff and still in the midst of the fire. Because of your stand, maybe you lose your job. Because of your stand, maybe there's situations that go on at home. Maybe you make a stand with your teenagers. Maybe you make a stand at work with your family members. There's always going to be a fire. But if you'll honor God, God will always be seen with you in the midst of that test and that challenge. Three things happened with these guys. Write it down. Number one, their hair wasn't singed. Come on, say that with me. Their hair wasn't singed. I know some of the brothers in the room with bald heads. Looks like you've been through the fire. Come on, somebody. Their hair wasn't singed. Write it down. It means, I think of it this way, their thought life was kept. Their thought life was kept. Their hair. So the difficulties, the challenges, and the tests, and the trials have a chance, what I found out, to mess with my head. It has a chance to mess with my head. So we have to win the battle between our ears. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You just got to win the battle between your ears. Because, again, you're in the middle of fire, and I got a chance to not think right. I got a chance to kind of go, wow, you know, I didn't think this was going to happen. I thought the fire was going to last a day or an hour or a week, but I've been in the fire for a month now. It's been a month now. And so the fire has a tendency to cause you to think different thoughts. But these brothers' hair wasn't singed. So listen, let me just kind of help you with a couple thoughts. God's not a blesser and a curser. He's not a blesser and a curser. God's not good and bad. God doesn't give and God then takes away. God is only good. He's only a blesser. He's only a God who gives. So in the middle of the fire, the first thing you've got to do is make sure your thinking stays strong. And that's why you need some godly friends. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So if you're around some good brothers and sisters and they start saying, man, you're talking crazy talk. You're talking crazy talk. You're talking about doing something this or thinking about that. Or No. Would you leave all that alone and listen, change the way you think. Come back to God's Word. Let God's Word be final authority in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Romans 12, 2, we talk about it lots of times around here. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Let the Word of God transform your thinking. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. Because it's amazing what I found out in storms. It's amazing how it seems like the enemy will bring like storm chasers in your life. And they're always in a storm. It's always like little tornado people. Like they're just, and they've always got something. And all of a sudden your ear will hear them. And so you've just got to shut your ears and you've got to let the Word of God speak to you. And you've got to surround yourself with godly influences. And if you're a Meshach, you better have a Shadrach and Abednego. You got to have some friends around you that will help you think in line with the Word of God. And by all means, you better be coming to church and pollinating with one another. Come on, iron and sharpening iron. Amen. Come on, I've been through some times before in my life, and I'll just call a friend and say, hey, this is Gary. Tell me again what the Word of God says. Would you just tell me what the Word says? And some of my friends, they'll start preaching to me for about 3 or 4 minutes and say, "Woo, that's all I need. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Come on, somebody. No one's immune. Number two, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their garments were not affected. Their garments were not affected. They didn't come out of that fire, you know, with a bunch of smoking holes all in their clothes and stuff. Come on. Their garments weren't burned. I really think this talks about our robe of righteousness. As believers, the Bible says that you are actually clothed with a robe of righteousness. And so, again, by just thought and comparison, what we're talking about with this story, I've had situations in my life and talked to enough people to realize that the fire or the adversity will try to define you. It tries to define you. And you start asking yourself some questions like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? How come I'm going through this? I didn't see this come. Am I doing something wrong? So listen to me. Trouble doesn't mean you're bad, evil, not believing, or rebellious. That's not what trouble means. Trouble means you're a human in this earth. That's what it means. That's what it means. Now, there's things that you can do. There's things that I can do that cause trouble, cause adversity in my own life. You mean, you know, if I all of a sudden today, you know, I'm getting kicked at work, and I'm all week long I've been mad at my boss, and then I just do something boneheaded, and I go to work Monday morning and just say, I quit. And then you go, and the boss says, great, go see HR. And you go, no, go see HR. You got a wife, you got kids, you got a house payment. You got car payment. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? That's why you need a friend. And say, hey, I hate my boss. I think he's Nebuchadnezzar number two. What do you think I should do? Good friend will say, number one, don't quit right now. Come on, somebody. Before you quit, you better have a job. Come on, somebody. The garments were affected. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Paul says this, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. Wow, that's real language, guys. But by the grace of God, he didn't stop there, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul's garments didn't stay affected. He said, man, I'm the least of all the apostles. I persecuted the church. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. But the brother didn't stay there. The brother didn't stay there. He didn't stay bound. He didn't stay falling down. He didn't stay in that situation. He got up. He began walking and realizing God's called me. His grace is on my life. God wants to do something great in my life, even though I've been a wreck. Even though I've been married 5 times. Even though I was rebellious. Even though I was a drug addict. Even though I was an alcoholic. Even though I did this and I'm ashamed of it. But I am what I am now by the grace of God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. God's grace is greater than your sin and your pain. Come on, let God's grace come into your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He later went on to say, you know, forget those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward to those things that are before me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm forgetting those things. I'm forgetting that guy that used to do those things. I'm forgetting that I was the girl that used to do those things. And I'm pressing toward the mark. God's got a high calling for my life, and I'm pressing toward that. I'm not going to just hang around a bunch of losers any longer. I'm not just going to be that same guy and be limited by what they said that I used to be. I'm coming out of my own fire. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Their garments were not affected. Who they were, who they really were, wasn't affected by the fire. I don't think they came out and were going like, you know, dear God, you know, like, we're never going to be able to be a servant again. We're never going to be able to do, what happens if he throws us in the fire again? They weren't thinking that. They had a different thought. Their garments were not affected. Number three, no smell of fire. No smell of fire. I think about this, guys, for us, no lingering effects. No lingering effects. You know, there was a guy in the church, one of the churches, you know, we pastored in Canada for 13 years, and there was a guy in the church, and every time you got together with this guy, he would always talk about the situation, the deal. I don't need to tell you what the deal was, but he would always bring up the deal. The deal was his hurt. The deal was his adversity. The deal was his pain. And it came up every single time. You'd be out and talking, and everything's cool. Then all of a sudden, it's like that look came on him, that face came on him, and it was like all of a sudden he goes back where he fell. He's down, and he's bound, and he starts talking about the deal. And it was like, I'm going, the brother can't get free. The smell of fire was still on him. You know, if you smoke today, I'm not against smokers, but if you smoke, listen to me, we know you smoke. I'm not against it. If you smoke, that's up to you. That's up to you, right? I'm not against it. But if you smoke, can I tell you, we know you smoke. Your clothes deceive you. When we ride in your car, it deceives you. I won't say that. Anyway. But the Bible says with these guys, God removed the stain, the stench, and the odor of the furnace from these guys. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It wasn't there. It wasn't lingering. It wasn't lingering. I pray today that if you're going through something, you're going through pain, that today is a day the adversity stops. And you say, I might still be in the fire, but God's in the fire with me. And I'm not going to let my life be determined by what's going on right now. I've got a robe of righteousness. My hair's not going to be singed. I'm going to think right. And I'm going to go the rest of my life having that smell, determining who I really am. In fact, look at Isaiah 43 real quick. Isaiah 43. The Lord created you. It says, don't be afraid. I'll save you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the deep waters, notice that when, not if, when you pass through deep waters, I'm going to be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When, not if, when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. These guys prove the trials can't hurt you. The fire can't hurt you. James 1 again, real quick. James 1, verse 2 through 4. We read it. Here's what we need to do. Brothers, James writing to their church, just like Spectrum. Brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Notice that. Who wants to do that? I mean, this is like totally, you don't learn this in school. You don't learn this growing up. This is totally not what you want to do in the middle of a trial, in the middle of pain, in the middle of a fire. You don't want to do this. Count it all joy. But how many know this is a spiritual principle? And if you'll do a spiritual principle in a natural world will give in to a spiritual principle. Amen. Come on, somebody. Can I say that one more time? This is a spiritual principle. And if you'll work a spiritual principle in a natural world, the natural world will give in to the spiritual principle. It will. This is how God thinks. This is how God thinks. That's why it's in the Bible. Count it all joy. Count it all joy whenever you're surrounded or encounter any trials of any kind. That's exactly what you do, number one. You count it all joy. You just go, woo, praise God. I don't know how this thing's going to turn around, but I'm just going to get excited about how God is going to work in the midst of my fire right now. I'm going to come to church, and ain't nobody going to know what's going on in my life. I'm just going to praise Jesus. I'm going to serve down the kids' ministry. I'm going to come early. I'm going to leave late. I'm going to let everybody know my God is alive and real. Count it all joy. Right? Come on, somebody. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Is it joy? No, but count it joy. In the middle of all this, God, you're going to get glorified. Number two, know that your faith will be tested. Again, we talked about it with the brothers. Know that your faith will be tested. That's what it's all about. It's all about your faith. It's all about the enemy trying to take the Word of God, which is your faith in God, faith in the Word of God, out of your life. The fire tries to take the Word out of your life. If you don't have the Word working in your life, you cannot stand. So the pain, the storm, the fire, the adversity is trying to get you to back off the Word of God. So you got to know your faith is going to be tested. You're going to have to know the result of your faith being tested. It says it's patience, endurance, and perseverance. Come on. How many agree with me that patience is might be something you can just say, Lord, I need just a little bit more. Come on, somebody. I mean, at the stop signs, like, dear Lord, would you just go? Come on, we're in California. We don't come to a stop. Can I get an amen? Come on. We're just going to whoop. I hope the policemen are not in the room this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to mark my truck. But patience and endurance, come on. The result will be patience and endurance and perseverance. You going through the fire. You count it all joy. Look at this. Patience, endurance, and perseverance, it actually says, will bring about a perfect work in you. A perfect work in you. It'll bring about a perfect work in you if you let it. Amen. If you let it. If you let it. It did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And lastly, the scripture says it'll result in you being perfectly and fully developed, lacking nothing. Perfect and fully developed, lacking nothing. The pain, the adversity, the difficulty, the fire, the storm, the challenge will perfectly and fully develop your life into a life of godliness, holiness, a life where you prove the Word of God in your own life, where people see that, and you'll come out lacking nothing. Amazing. Read the scripture, read it one more time. 1 Peter 1, we read it a moment ago. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you're grieved by various trials. Again, trials don't make you feel good. You're grieved by them. But notice what verse 7 says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, will be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the genuineness of your faith is only revealed by fire. I'm sorry to say that. I would love to tell you that God says, I really believe you. I really believe you. You know, God says, we're going to allow fire to come in your life to show, to see what you really believe. Amen. The genuineness of your faith is proved by going through adversity. Going through adversity. I mean, we deal with it with your kids, don't you? When they're small, and you, the first time you tell your kids no, and they mope and they pout, but if you give in to them, guess what? You have just ruined them. You've ruined them. And God says He's going to use and allow adversity. He's going to use and allow the fire of the enemy in your life to prove the genuineness of the faith in your life, and it will come forth, and it will be more precious than gold that perishes. Amazing. So the fire doesn't harm you. The fire proves you. Amen. He actually uses a really interesting phrase that it's going to be found at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the fire, I believe this. Maybe I'm wrong. You can have your own opinion. I can too. But I really believe that the fire at the end of our life, the fire when this is all done, when we're in heaven, the difficulty we're going to go through, the challenges that we're going through, our faith in God. We can't see everything right now, but this says the fire is going to be found to the praise and the honor and the glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. We're not going to see it all right now. There's things that you go, wow, you know, we said before around here, you know, I didn't see that coming. Wow, I didn't see that adversity. I didn't know that fire was coming up. Wow, I didn't see that person that left me, the person that said they were going to be in business with me, or that person that stole from me and caused a financial fire in my life. I didn't see it coming. But the Bible says at the end of the day, at the end of the age, when Jesus comes back and we're with Him in heaven, and we see what He did and allowed us to go through, we'll see it coming back to Him in praise and honor and glory. Amazing. Amazing. Peter says this, and we'll close right here. Peter says this: don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through, as if something strange was happening to you. Don't think it unusual. Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard. This is part of our human life experience. We are going to go through tests. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through challenges. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went through them. Their good friend Daniel, you've read the story. Daniel in the lion's den. He went through it. We read where Jesus went through storms. We read where the apostles in the book of Acts went through storms. You've got friends, and yourself have been through numerous storms. Don't think it's strange. The Bible says that the suffering, all of us, listen to me, He's not talking about physical suffering in your body, but He's talking about the suffering that we all are going to go through while we're on this side of heaven, on the earth. Everything's not going to line up for you. I don't care what preacher tells you. Everything's going to be good and golden for you, baby, if you'll just give $1,000. Heard it before, brother. Listen to me. I'm telling you. Trouble's coming. Pain's coming. Adversity comes. But if you'll put something in you before all that happens, it'll get you all the way through it. And your hair won't be singed. Come on. And your robe, your clothes won't be burned. Come on, everybody. Clothes won't be burned. And you won't come out 5 years later, 10 years later, still smelling like smoke, smelling like fire. Can't believe what happened in 2008. We're bankrupt. Okay, man. It's 2014. 6 years ago. Can't believe she left me. I thought she was going to be with me forever. How long would that happen? 4 years. Okay, listen. I'll grieve with you. I'll weep with you. It's time to change your pillowcase. Time to change your sheets. Quit weeping. Let's get on down the road. Let's believe God, in the middle of your adversity and pain, is going to give you a word, and He's going to give you a new spouse if that's what you want. Lost my job. Man, I was making $88,000 a year. Now I'm making $42,000. What am I going to do? Guess what you're going to do? Keep giving. Let's believe God. Let's believe that God meets you. You might have to, of course, hey, you're not going to be driving the Mercedes no more. You can't. You can't. You can't. But if you'll humble yourself under God's hand, He'll lift you up. He'll hold you. He'll help you. God's good. He'll turn things around for you again and again. The fire promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire can do the same for you. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, can you give the Lord an amen today? Come on, say praise the Lord. His word will sustain you in your fire. His word. I can tell you from experience, just as a Christian, again, not a pastor, just a Christian, going through trouble, going through challenging times, how in those times, it's like the word of God from yesteryear would come alive and fresh. Didn't think about it. Don't know where that word came from. But it was like the word of God just came welling up within me again. You know what I really believe? I believe God was just telling me and showing me, I'm right here with you, Gary. I'm right here in the middle of your fire. And even though you feel like you're falling down, even though you feel like you're bound, even though you feel like there's just no way you're going to, I'm right here in the middle of the adversity with you. And if you will allow that word to water your heart again and change the way you think, change the way you think and change your attitude and the way you carry yourself, I'll get you out. And can I tell you, time after time, He has been faithful to me and Kimberly, and He'll be the same way to you. Amen. I believe it. Can you say amen this morning? You've listened real good. Stand up with me, everybody, this morning. Bow your head right there. I want to give everyone in the room this opportunity to meet this God who was in that midst of that burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to give you the opportunity to meet this God who was with Daniel when he was surrounded by lions. I want to give you the opportunity to meet this God who actually spoke to a dead man named Lazarus and cause him to come out of the grave. I want to give you an opportunity to meet this God who, the Bible says, took on flesh, came to the earth, and humbled himself and went to the cross and died for you and for my sins. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe you prayed a prayer as a kid and you've not decided, or for whatever reason, you've just not lived that life for a long time, but today you're here, you say, you know, Pastor Gary, I want to make things new. I want to change. I want to have a new beginning in my life. God's going to meet you right there where you're at. Again, makes no difference where you're at, where you've been doing, or how long you've been doing what you've been doing. God wants to meet you right now at your point of need. And He'll help you. And He'll uphold you. And He'll speak to you. And He'll plant you in a church like this church. He'll cause friends to come around you and be able to speak words of life and blessing in your life. And it all begins with you. It's your choice. It's your decision. He sets before us life and death, a blessing and a curse, He says. So choose life. Choose. Choose Jesus. You're here today. You've never known Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're away from Him today. I'm going to ask you just a couple seconds to lift your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Gary, pray for me. I'm going to ask you, after you lift your hand, to come right down here to the front. I'm going to pray for you, pray with you, lead you in a prayer. Ask Jesus to come into your life. So you're here today.